Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And where are we now? Who knows? Everything is in chaos, confusion. What's the future? Who knows? But maybe to help us have perspective is a man who's been on the show before. He is a very highly conscious person of our psyches and our spirits, and he has seen so much of the universe that we haven't, and so much of life here too, because he was a Christian minister for 40 years, so he worked with everybody's needs at basic levels, and also understands the higher levels that we need to understand more, I think, at this time. So I'm excited that Jim Willis is back with us. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Peter. Good to be with you again. Good to be with you. Even during these wild, crazy, and anxious and fearful times.
Right.
Maybe especially during these wild, crazy, and fearful times.
That's why I've asked you to be on the show again, because you have so much to say. And as we were talking about just before the show started, that we could talk for 3 hours about the subject matter for the show. And maybe at some point we will over time.
Thank you.
With other shows. So, but I think so many people right now are distraught.
Yes.
And I think it's they need to see a bigger picture, and they don't have one. All they have is confusion around it.
Yes.
So what can you bring to our life?
it's a wild and crazy time. And if people are going through a difficult time right now, some of them, for instance, are understanding how this has impacted their own life personally, and so they feel grief, and then they feel guilt because they see others who have it worse off than they do, and the temptation is to try to say there must be something wrong with me, because why should I feel bad, why should I feel guilt when others have it much worse? Guilt and fear and anxiety, those all have to be measured within, I think. And it's perfectly okay for people to feel that way. And I'm not expecting to say anything today and all of a sudden make anybody feel better. However, I would love to be able to plant the seeds so that when people take the time out, which this pandemic is making us do right now, it's making us take time out, giving us time to think and to contemplate and to meditate. And possibly we can say things today that might give people a seed that can flower and blossom in hopes and in times of despair. And that is the seed that will blossom into hope. I like to look at that Chinese character and the one Chinese character in the Chinese alphabet, that not only talks, well, the Chinese are great, and Taoism, for instance, is wonderful for yin and yang, duality. And that Chinese alphabet character symbolizes not only tragedy, but hope at the same time, because I think they come together. I have come to believe, and I believe this now even more with all my heart, that we are living in a crisis time of history, which can go one of two directions. It can either go the direction of despair, and we can all give in and say there's nothing we can do, or during these times, I think we can be open for a tremendous burst of creativity and hope. You see it there in New York, for instance, where people confined have learned within New York. I've used some wonderful stories. People confined to their own apartments and all of a sudden have learned how to cope. One brilliant thing I heard was a person managed to somehow by drone contact a woman who lived across the street from him, and he sent her flowers by drone, and she was so attracted that she sent her, that she made a return thing. The drone has replaced the carrier pigeon.
I love that.
And then and they began to date. They've never met, but they have this wonderful online friendship going right now.
I've heard that story of another drones around town.
Yeah, another story of two people who learned how to play ping pong across an alley where their apartments are separate. How to play ping pong window to window, up a couple of floors. I don't know how many ping pong balls they've lost, but it's just. You see these wonderful, creative ways to go about things that are just almost impossible. A wonderful story out of England when there was a strike, I think, going on in the English equivalent of the subway. And during the strike, people learned different commuter patterns. And when the strike was over, they all assumed that everybody go back to what they did before. And they didn't. They had grown to like a new reality. And somehow, I wonder if this pandemic, I know a lot of times people say we want to go back to normal, but I wonder if normal was the problem that got us here in the first place. And I'm wondering if we can possibly find a way to come out of the other side of this, not going back to normal, but going into a brand new understanding. And I think there are historical antecedents for this. And I think there are spiritual ramifications, and I'd love to go into both.
As a matter of fact, let's talk about your other books because they pertain to that. You have a book called Hidden History, and then also another book called Lost Civilization.
Hidden History, right out. Right, and just released. Yes.
Right, and Lost Civilizations, and so you. You have so much breadth in you because you have historical knowledge, but also you have the capacity in us to rise above our banal, mundane natures to use our higher minds.
Yeah. I think, maybe I appreciate your kind words, I really do, but I'm going to have to say, do what I say, don't do what I do, because I'm victim to the same kind of depressions and everything else that everybody else is. But what has given me a lot of hope is my absolute certainty that we have come from the place that I call Source. When I was a Christian minister, and I haven't been involved in Christianity for 10 years now, but when I was a Christian minister, I refer to it as God. I hesitate to use the word God nowadays. I'm perfectly comfortable with it myself. But when you say the word God, everybody has so much baggage attached to it, depending on how they were raised and in what religious tradition they were raised or not raised, or whether they are atheist or whether they are agnostic or believer. In all of these things, I don't like the word God, but I like the word Source because it implies we all come from the same place. And spiritually, as I understand it, as I see it, Source is that place where there is perfect unity, where there is perfect oneness, as the Zen masters would say. And there in Source, everything is that all those words that we love to use, like perfect love, perfect compassion, perfect grace, all of those words, they are all there in Source. That's the foundation of everything. There is one thing, however, that you can't have in Source, and that's the experience of individuality. In order for us to experience individuality, we have to, in effect, make what I think is a courageous decision, and I think we've all made it, to leave the Source and to become an individual, where all of a sudden you begin to think in terms of I and you, I, thou. And we're still an energy. We're not manifested physical beings yet, but we're still an energy. But energy becomes manifested in the physical reality when we go through that newly discovered Higgs field, where energy becomes mass, matter. E equals MC squared, Einstein has said it.
Right.
And all of a sudden, when we enter into that world, the world in which we inhabit right now, we experience individuality. The trouble with it, the world of duality in which we live, is that you just can't take the good stuff and leave the bad stuff. That's, I think, a big mistake that Christianity and Judaism and Islam all make. They tell us to associate with the good, identify with the good, and then reject the bad. I don't think you can do it. I think the Buddha was absolutely correct. In this life, all life is wonderful, but all life is suffering. And he taught us to find that way between the two poles of opposites and to that place that embraces them both. Now we come to being practical. I understand that in the good and the bad in life, and we've all had both, and right now we're experiencing a lot of bad. Usually if we're lucky, we experience a lot of good with some bad things. Now we seem to be more experiencing bad with some good islands of goodness in it. But here we are in the midst of this bad, and we have to come, I think, somehow to the spiritual realization that it's important that we're going through this, that our life has meaning. We're going through this for a reason. We are here to experience everything. Now, that doesn't mean we have to enjoy the bad. I'm not saying that at all. But it does mean that when the bad comes, as such as it is now, the pandemic and everything else, and when we see all the suffering around us, when that comes, I think it's important for us to remember that it's happening for a greater reason that maybe we cannot understand, but someday we will take all of the experiences of life, both the good and the bad, and I think when we return to the source, when we leave this body, when we leave the I and the ego behind, that'll be buried or whatever with our body, we return to the source, we will be returning with the sense of mission accomplished. I left that perfect oneness. I went into the world of duality. I experienced it, both the good and the bad. I reveled in it. It was my experience, and that is the experience that I take back with me to the source, back to the collective, back to God. But I hope that isn't too esoteric.
No, I like that.
It does help me in those difficult times.
But then I want to add to it, I think that we're not clear as to who we really are in terms of life and death, terms of our spirits, having, let's say, eternal spirits.
Yeah.
And we have made dying of this virus more important than other survival needs.
Yes.
Yeah. And because of this new lifestyle, I think it might harm many more people than the virus could have if we had just been smarter about it, kept frail people out of the way and let, people who might get the virus but are going to survive it, mm-hmm. mostly, only very small numbers would succumb to it. And also, I don't think that we're tackling the sickness properly. I think the medical world can do a much better job of helping us avoid death, but we're putting dying ahead of challenging life to make it better.
Yeah, people have gone through this before. This is not the first time this has happened. I can't imagine what it would be like to, for instance, to understand what it would have been like to live in Europe during the Middle Ages when the bubonic plague was coming through.
Right.
And people experienced that. What came on the other side of the bubonic plague? The Renaissance, one of the most glorious times of human.
Or who was left after the plague. And that's another reason why we have to understand the nature of reality and who our souls are. And, because the animal kingdom is much more comfortable with living and dying.
Yeah.
There's so much more of that.
Yeah. It is frightening. We just simply can't get away from it. When the first Spanish explorers came to Florida, they met the native indigenous people in Florida who had been there for thousands upon thousands of years in Florida.
They killed them all.
And within a matter of decades, 95% of the indigenous population had died.
Right.
And this was taken, you know, these diseases, smallpox and measles and diphtheria and all of these things that they had no natural immunity.
Right, but also they were conquerors who were killing the enslaved people.
Well, yeah.
Columbus was horrendous at that.
And to be honest, sometimes they even spread these diseases on purpose. Right. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be one of those in the first people in Florida, one of those Indian people in Florida, who hadn't even seen a white man, and yet somehow the disease was transferred from one tribe to another, and here they were dying in droves. They would wake up in the morning, and by the afternoon, a quarter of their village, maybe even a half of the village, would be either sick or dead. They must have looked at their gods. They must have been saying, "This is a punishment from God." And the people who died first were the elders. With them died the wisdom. The people who died second were the children. And when the children died, they took the future with them. Yeah. The ones that were left were in the middle, and they had to be wondering. They had to be saying, what's going to come out the other side of this? So this is something that's been with us for a long time. In my book, Lost Civilizations, when I'm looking back in history, going back in some cases thousands of years, I had to study times where a great and thriving civilization would almost overnight cease to be. Perhaps it was a comet or something like that that hit the earth, or perhaps it was sickness, or perhaps it was warfare. And always in history, we look back and we say, why are the gods doing this to us? Well, I don't think necessarily that we can say this is a punishment from God, or the gods are angry at us, or that we've done something wrong. We can look at it in many ways as what we could have done differently, how we could have handled it differently, how we can think about it differently. A lot of that's all out of our hands. But what we have to do is say, how are we going to handle this personally? If we can come out the other side and say, we're not going to go back to normal, we're not going to go back to the way we were. If we can come out of it with new insights and saying, we're not going to let this happen again, then I think these people who died will not have died in vain. Classic illustration. I'm looking at pictures right now of the Los Angeles skyline before the coronavirus, when people were out in those 10, 15, 20 lane highways, and all you could see was a smudge over the city. And now, 3 months later, you look in the picture from the same place, and it's clear. I was talking to a person just yesterday who lives in Colorado, and he was saying for the first time he can see the Rocky Mountains.
I don't know what the long range solution for that is, because the population is going to need industry, and we are going to drive cars, but electric cars, you know, we're going to have more opportunity to clean the air.
But it, at least if it'll make us ask the questions, what can we do differently? Right. We get the idea that no matter what we do to this earth, in only 3 months, this earth has done a lot of healing to itself. I think we have to give nature a lot more credit. I just don't think we have to say these old ways, we know they were bringing about. I mean, we know that there's environmental change. We know that we're bringing about environmental disaster, but we're not doing anything about it. If enough of us individuals, no politicians involved, if a bunch of us individuals can start talking and start saying, we are going to demand that we do it differently. We don't know how yet, but if enough of us want it, someone will figure out how I can do it and make money from it. And we can start making money in funneling our income and funneling our interest into ways that might change the earth for the better.
My sense is that this time has given us the opportunity to connect more with people than before, even though we're not in person.
Isn't that strange?
So much of the Zoom and the everything together in ways that it's beautiful to see how we're connected, and we probably don't want to lose that after this is over.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll keep that sense of human scale.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I find this to be encouraging too. I've got to be honest. I am not a big technology guy. Technology.
You're out in the woods.
I love the possibilities of Facebook. I love the possibilities of Twitter. But to be honest, in a couple of months ago, I was really down on Facebook and Twitter and all those kind of things because it was just always so negative. But now that we have to use technology to connect with each other, we're starting to use it in ways that I find wonderful. One person is listing a joke a day just to heal it better. I recently, on my Facebook page, I recently shared one of the most heart honoring videos that I've ever seen. Anybody wants to look it up, I just can't help it. If you look up my Facebook page, jimwillis.author, you'll find the link. Otherwise, you can look at, it's Tom Foolery. Tom Foolery is the guy who, the name of the guy who puts it out. And it's called, what was the name of it now? Something about the Great Expectation, hindsight is 2020. The Great Realization, it's called. I really firmly invite your listeners to look it up, and they will become believers.
Them all to believe more in themselves.
it's just a wonderful thing about looking forward to what we can be, and if this has, you know, everybody having to shelter at home, if that's caused us to begin to use the internet with the possibilities for good and for connection and for hope, boy, that's a wonderful thing. I know there's still a lot of evil out there, a lot of people who just want to blow off steam, and everybody has an equal voice, whether they have a equal right to share what they believe or not. I know that, but boy, there's possibilities. And I guess spiritually speaking and physically speaking, when I look at the Renaissance coming on the other side of the Great Plague, when I look at the possibilities of technology being used for good coming out on the other side of this horrible pandemic that we're going through, you begin to see that you don't have to just say everything's going to be bad, but it's up to us. It has to come from us. We can't trust our leaders. We can't trust our politicians. We can't even trust our religious leaders or anything else like that. It's got to come from the human heart. I wrote a book a number of years ago called Faith, Trust, and Belief. And in that book, I said the next great change of human evolution has got to come within the human heart. We have the capacity right now to change the world in an instant. We can change it overnight if all of us just suddenly begin to start looking at our potential. Now, is it going to happen? Well, I don't know, but we can do it. It's possible.
I'm thinking of the word resourcefulness.
Wonderful word. Yes.
I think creativity scares people. Am I creative enough? I don't know, but I can be resourceful.
There you go. Wonderful. I'm going to remember that, Peter. Thank you. I'm going to use that.
Because I think we'll be driven to that.
I really do believe that this pandemic, however it got here, however it developed, however it spread, this pandemic reminds us that long ago, our spiritual ancestors were in touch with resources within them that they knew they had. I'm talking now about a psychic toolkit. I think they were fully aware of powers that we have that we left a long time ago. We left them behind. Psychokinesis and all of these things. Some of these, mind-altering things that went into building these great stone edifices that I looked at in lost civilizations. How did they do it? We don't know. Did they have some kind of a psychic toolkit that is atrophied in us? If so, it's still there.
Well, maybe
we left that. I think we might say they were more right-brained than us. They were more intuitive. They were more in touch. And now we moved to the left side of our brain. And left side of our brain, we became the intellectual. We went the science route. But I think, especially with the new study of new physics, of quantum theory, I think that The ancient Hindu rishis, for instance, had a wonderful intuitive grasp of what we now call quantum theory and quantum connectedness and entanglement and all that kind of stuff when they were talking about everything being one. They knew this 6,000 years ago because they were using it, they are intuitive. Now comes science, and science comes in, and now we're discovering with our mathematics and with our scientific formulas and with our wonderful technology, we're understanding a whole new world called the quantum world. And here comes the intuitive world and the intellectual world of science. And I think we're merging onto the same pathway for the first time.
We have to with the right brain.
Yeah.
Because this is a time when even the Mayans predicted the left brain is going to destroy us at this point of time in our history. Mm-hmm. And that we have to go into the right brain.
Yeah.
And so we're really running out of time. This is so wonderful talking with you. And so
thank you, Peter.
And let's just quickly talk about books people can get. You have the Quantum Akashic Field, which is a recent book of yours. And then you have Hidden History and Lost Civilizations and other books, right? But you also gave people a way to get to you through Facebook.
Yes, probably if anybody's interested in following these ideas in more depth, I've written, 12 books. I'm on my 13th now, which will probably come out next year. And if anybody's interested in finding out whether, probably the easiest way is to just go to my webpage, which is jimwillis.net. And on that page, which is maintained by my daughter, because she much more comfortable with technology than I am. On that page, you can find all of the books and links, how to find them, and the publishers. And of course, they're all on Amazon and everything else. So also, I really have to invite your listeners as well. If there's a contact page on my website where you just say contact us, I love to hear from people. And if anybody has insights and anything else, please contact me through the contact page on the website. Wonderful. I'd love to hear from you. I really would.
Jim Willis, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for being on Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. Always good to be with you. Anytime.
Good. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org. We're launching a new website, HeartRiver.org, new website within a few days. And I'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening.